if you could stop enjoying each other right now. If someone still wants to talk to you, be rude to them and sit down, okay? So I just felt like I needed to start off like this. Merry Christmas. Wait, sorry, wrong message. That was for you, Ricky. That was for you. I just love the band just lets you go. They just let you go. I thought at least Aaron would get over and kick you or something, you know. Yeah. After graduation from Harvard Law School, Brian Stevenson could have gotten a job at any top 10 law firm. And yet he decided instead of that, he was going to move to Alabama to help those who have been wrongfully accused, specifically those who had been found on death row. And his story is told in a book, which is also a movie called Just Mercy. And in that book, the one person who has the biggest role is a man named Walter McMillan. Walter McMillan was a black businessman who had the foresight to buy a saw and a truck and get a loan to start a business working with lumber. And he was a very successful businessman, but he was by no means a perfect person. In fact, he would be the first to admit that he had a weakness for the ladies. And there was a woman that he got involved with, and the fact that she was 18 years younger was not the issue. The fact that Karen Kelly was white was the issue. And so Walter became renowned. Everybody knew who Walter was. Well, because of that, when Ralph Myers was pulled aside, and accused of a murder, he pinned it on Walter. And the story went like this, that Ralph and Walter were driving around in Walter's lowrider pickup. And Walter stopped to go into the dry cleaner to murder Rhonda Morrison. And then they got back in the lowrider and they took off. Well, there's only three problems with that story. Number one, when the murder took place, Walter was at a church fish fry with dozens of witnesses, including a peace officer. Secondly, Walter's truck was not turned into a lowrider until 4 months after the murder of Rhonda. And three, the two had never met. When Walter was brought in, the guy who accused him had to be introduced to him. He didn't even recognize him. Well, despite all of those things, a white jury convicted him, and the judge, Robert E. Lee Key Jr., overturned the life in prison to put him on death row. Now, Brian Stevenson heard about Walter's case and decided that he would look into it. And this is how he remembers his conversation with Walter. "Mr. Brian, I know it may be no matter to you, but it's important to me that you know that I'm innocent. I'm sure I'm not the first person on death row to tell you that they're innocent, but I really need you to believe me. My life has been ruined. This lie they put on me is more than I can bear. And if I don't get help from someone who believes in me..." At that point, his lips began to quiver. He clenched his fists to stop himself from crying. When he gained his composure, he said, "I'm sorry. I know you'll do everything you can to help me." Now, that story has been turned into a great movie, and it's got Jamie Foxx, so you gotta watch it. He's really good in that. Michael B. Jordan. And I'm not gonna tell you the end of it. But when I read that in the book, Just Mercy, it got me. It angered me. I was infuriated that this could happen. It could happen now in our culture. How is it possible? What is the thing that is so infuriating about this story? Injustice. Whenever we see injustice, this is how we react. This is just about the most unjust trial I have ever heard of, with the exception of one. We pick up the dialogue. In Matthew 26:59, Jesus had just entered Jerusalem. He came in peace to save our world, that it would cost him his life. And here's the dialogue in the courtroom. Inside, the leading priests and the entire council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer for these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Matthew 27:11. Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the governor asked him. Jesus replied, "You've said it." But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. "Don't you hear all these charges they're bringing against you?" Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Now, there are similarities in this story. There is injustice. There is lies. There's heartbreak. But there is a place in which these two stories diverge. Walter would tell anyone who would listen how innocent he was. He would tell judge, jury, people in prison. Later on, he would tell newscasters. He'd tell newspaper men. He would tell anybody who would listen that he was innocent. But Jesus, the most wrongfully accused person in the history of the world, Jesus who came down to earth to heal, to bring sight to the blind, to make the deaf hear, to raise the dead. He had one goal, to bring peace. And he was accused and lied about. And we know the result. Death on a cross. Yet Jesus remained silent. The high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer?" But Jesus remained silent. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Before Herod, Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he'd heard about him. He was hoping he'd do a magic trick for him. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Most unjust trial in the history of mankind. He was sinless and he was killed for it. And yet he remained silent. Let me ask you a question. When you face injustice, what's your response? Do you remain silent? Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm the worst. I hate injustice. And I'll tell anybody about the smallest injustice. Okay, I want to introduce you to a family member right now. Do we have that picture? There it is. It's Big Red. When my wife started a church, we had a baby. Why did we have a baby? We wanted to grow our church by one. But we didn't have enough room in our car, so we bought this thing. Okay, let me tell you about Big Red. Volvo 240. First off, the best turning radius of any car. You wouldn't believe it. It just turned on a dime. It was crazy. Secondly, it had that back seat that faced backwards. So when you'd go on vacation, the people in the back had a completely different vacation than everybody else. Completely different. Well, we drove that around until finally I got tired of my wife having to be the worst car in all of our community. So then I bought her a minivan, which I guess isn't a huge upgrade, but it was new. And I bought it for her birthday, and she loved it. So I had, don't laugh at me. So I had Big Red, and my mom needed a car. And so I go, all right, Mom, I'll bring you Big Red. And I told a friend of mine that when I did that. He says, you don't love your mom very much, do you? Well, she had it for about 5 years until she could no longer drive, and I went and picked it up. My son was about to learn to drive, and he needed a car. I remember walking around that car, and there was like a lens out here. And I said, Mom, what happened here? She says, well, it was like that when I got it. Well, what about this one? Oh, it was like it when I got that. What about this dent? It was like that when I got it. Mom, I gave it to you. It was not. So I pulled it up to my house. The car had been registered, but she didn't have the sticker. So we parked it on the street, and we were going to go get the sticker. I had it on my to-do list. I had a staff meeting at my house one day, and a person had to leave early, came back in, and Kelly came in and said, Jack, they're towing your car. So I went out there, and there was a peace officer. I'm sure he was a nice human being, but he was on his phone. And I said, hey, it's registered, but we don't have the sticker, and I just got this. So I ran inside, and I got all the paperwork. And I handed it. I just was like, here. I was just waiting for him. He's on his phone. Tow truck picked it up, pulled it off, and it was gone. And then he hung up, and I said, here you go. This is the registration. And he looked at me and goes, huh. If I had seen this, I wouldn't have had your car towed. $473 later, I got my car back. Let me tell you something. I did not remain silent. Because that's our go-to. When we've been hurt, we don't remain silent. Can I speak to the manager? I want to put out a bad Yelp review. Can I speak to your supervisor? We'll go up the chain as much as possible. Why in the world would Jesus remain silent? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why. The first is this. Jesus had no need to prove himself. He didn't need people to think better of him. He had no need. None. I love this quote. It's from John Ortberg. Do I have it? Do I have the quote? Yeah, here we go. You can read it with me. There are many situations in which I find myself being much more measuring or calculating than I wish I were. Situations where I work as hard and subtly as I can to try and manage what the other person is thinking of me in the situations in which I emphasize opinions I think they might agree with or tell stories that make me sound smarter or stronger or more successful than I really am. And then he says this, I wear too much makeup. Is that us? I mean, how easy is it for you to drop in the goal that your kid scored, the GPA that your kid got, the success that you've had at work, the new car that you just bought, the fact that your kid was the MVP of the water polo and won CIF his senior year. Yes, it was my son. Why doesn't somebody ask me that? I had to awkwardly work it into a message for you to know that. Listen, Jesus wasn't pumping himself up. He had no need for us to view him any other way. So he remained silent. Secondly, Jesus had no need for the last word. There's a very famous theologian. His name is Dallas Willard. He did a lot of writing, and he was teaching a class. And as he was teaching the class, right near the end, a student raised up his hand to question not only Dallas Willard and what he believed, but Dallas Willard himself. You know, some 19-year-old punk who's trying to make a name for himself. And Dallas Willard listened to that, which was completely erroneous and wrong and offensive. And as soon as he heard it, he said this, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It looks like we're out of time. We'll see you next time. And he was asked by somebody, why didn't you put that punk in his place? And he said this, I am practicing the discipline of not having to have the last word. How are you at that? Arguing with your spouse, talking with your kid at work. Jesus didn't need to have the last word. Those are two reasons, but here's the real reason why Jesus remained silent. The unjust treatment of Jesus bought our justice. So let me help you understand why Jesus came to earth, died on a cross for you and me. It's not for all of the injustices that you've had to go through. Jesus came down to earth and died on a cross for all of the injustices that you have done to the people in your life throughout your entire life. And we all know that we've been guilty. Yelling at a young child who can't defend themselves. All of our addictions that we've let ruin our relationships. Letting our rage become too much and overflow into other people's lives. Bullying people. The injustice of subjecting people to our own dysfunction. The injustice of infidelity and alcohol and rage and pride. And you and I have hurt everybody so many times. And Jesus was willing to come down to this earth and live a sinless life and do nothing but love and try to bring peace and try to bring healing to this place. And at the end, to allow himself to be placed up on a cross after being beaten within an inch of his life, to be mocked, to be stabbed in the side, to be ridiculed. And in all of it, he remained silent. So that you and I could be forgiven of all the injustices that we've ever done. This is Good Friday, but only for us. It wasn't for Jesus, but he was willing to do it because he wanted to be in relationship with you. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your head? I'm going to just start like this, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but there may be people in this room who don't have this relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've always thought of God as just this angry God who wants to swing his finger at you and point out all the bad things you do, but the reality is he came down to forgive you of all the bad things you did. He wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring you joy. He wants to spend eternity with you. If you want to know that Jesus begins like this, a simple prayer, dear God, I give my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for all the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you. I put you in charge. I give you the keys to the car. Come into my life today. If you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. We'd love to know about it. I'm going to give you a way to let us know in just a second. For the rest of us, those who already know Jesus, I want you to take just a moment. I'm going to let it be quiet for a minute. And I want you to just pray this simple prayer. Dear God, forgive me of all the injustice I've inflicted on the people in my life. Just pray that. if you prayed that. I want you to understand this. Jesus doesn't hold it over your head. Your addiction, your hurt, your anger, your yelling at your kid, He doesn't hold that over your head. The minute you pray that, our God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I hidden their sin from them. And you are clean. Because He remains silent. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be with my friends. Help us to remember on this day all that You did for us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Made a decision to follow Jesus right in front of you, in front of that chair in front of you, or if you're in the front row in those little baskets. I want you to take this. I said yes to Jesus. Give us your name. We will help you along this journey, and then you can put it in that place in the back right there. Okay? All right. Now I'm leaving.